Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
with For His Glory Ministry. Thank you for joining us today. We're learning on the names of God, truth, which is one of the names of God. We want to sensitize you to our ministry, which is about everything dealing with For His Glory, because all that we do is literally for His glory. Our mission statement is, sir, we wish to see Jesus, which is exactly what we're going to do, quoted from John 12:21. We look at the Bible through Hebrew eyes, the customs, the culture, the traditions, and the teachings, and where they have relevance and bearing and truth to bring out the truth of the Bible and our walk with God, we'll bring them out accordingly. Now, the word we're studying today, which is one of the over 700, that's right, over 700 attributive names of God, is truth, emet. Say that all with me, emet, E-M-E-T, emet. E-M-E-T. The letters are Aleph, Mem, Tav. All right? Aleph, Mem, Tav. Those are the Hebrew letters. People, the truth is so pristine and so beautiful. It is so stark in its contrast and yet so precise in its definitions. It allows you to see clearly what to believe in. It is a revealer of light. It makes all things bright. And recognize the truth is eternal. It's clear, it's defining, it's refining, and truth ultimately is freeing. Okay? Truth is of God. We say God is truth, but do not say truth is God. We say God is light, but don't say light is God. All right? You can't do that. The language will not permit it. And to do that would then to make this other than an attribute that defines and describes, it would make it a determining, all right? We don't do that. So truth is of God. God is truth. Now let's take it to the next step. Truth expresses the God of truth. Now I want to show you something that's quite interesting. What are the letters again for truth? They're Aleph, Mem, and Tav, all right? The Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Mem, if you count all of the letters, there's 22 letters and 5 final forms, altogether 27. The middle one is the Mem, and the last letter is the Tav, all right? So we have the first and middle and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Aleph is the first letter. Again, the Mem is the middle letter. The Tav is the last letter. Now, that's very important for us to know that, all right? When we understand that, we know that the truth is always the first. The truth is always the middle or the center or the balancing point. The Tav at the end is always the last, okay? So we have the first, the middle, and the last. That we find out only in the Hebrew, which is God's language, and it reveals His truth, His word. Through the Hebrew, God communicates His divine thoughts divinely through a divine language, and that helps us understand better the things of God. So that's quite fascinating. So the first letter, again, is the Aleph. The middle letter is the Mem, and the last letter is the Tav, right? Aleph, Mem, Tav. Now, here's another very interesting thing about it. You cannot do one thing to disturb the truth without making a drastic change in your life or to those and or those who it affects. All right? Really, both. In Hebrew, what are those letters again? Aleph, Mem, Tav. If you were to take away, the rabbis teach this one so well, even one letter, and Aleph also represents numerically one. Perfect. Numbers represent letters. Letters represent numbers. If you took away even one letter, the Aleph, from the truth, if you removed even one thing from the truth, then you're not expressing the truth anymore, are you? The God that we serve is the truth. God is truth. He must be acknowledged and expressed perfectly, all right? If you take away the Aleph, the one letter from these three, Aleph, Mem, Tav, you take away that first letter, you're left with the last two, right? You took the first one away, you're left with two, Mem Tav, that's the Hebrew word mate, all right, which means corpse or dead, based on the word mavet, which is death. So if you take away Aleph, one letter out of the word truth, you're left with death. You're left dead, like a corpse. Actually, you're left dead. Interesting, what is that first letter? Remember in Hebrew, people, every letter has meanings. Actually, every letter has seven meanings, right? And what are some of the meanings for Aleph?
First.
Leader.
King.
King. God. Right, God. So that's perfect. And let's look at God here. Aleph is God. Aleph, Mem, Tav. So if you took away God from the word truth, what are you left with? Emet, right? Emet is truth. You take away one letter, the Aleph, which represents God. If you take away God from truth, the person is left
dead.
That's quite something. Don't touch one letter. The Bible tells you not to add, not to delete, not to change, all right? In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, you're told not to add, not to delete, not to change, all right? Death is what happened to the man who sinned. In Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned. You need to know that God is the answer, people. For all this, He Himself is the answer for every question. He is the solution to every problem. He is the God of truth. He is the Lord God of truth. He's Yahweh El Emet. Yahweh El Emet. He is the Lord God of truth. And He has truly revealed Himself as the God of truth. So come and see. Come and behold your King, who alone is truth. In a moment, I'm going to ask Danielle to read John 8, verses 31 and 32. And I want you all to turn your Bibles to the same area, all right? Because this, often, people just read the last part of the second verse that we're going to look at, and they fail to see the whole flow of how we get to this point about the truth shall make you free. So she's going to read it once, and then I'm going to have her go over it with me part by part, and let's learn together, all right? John 8, 31 and 32.
Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
So now let's look at this carefully together, okay? Now, what I want you to do is let's read it again. The first part, we'll do it just piece by piece. Jesus is what?
Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him.
All right, right there. He's speaking to the Jews who believed him. So, Jew or non-Jew, all right, with the key point here is belief. Belief, trust. Faith. Do you believe in him would make you a believer, right? Believe is the verb, believer is the noun. So we're talking about a believer is one who believes. By the time you get to the point, and the truth shall make you free, people, we have some steps to do first. Now, to believe in Jesus is at many levels. Do we believe in him in the ultimate category that he is our Lord and our Savior? Have we confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead so we shall be saved? And I enjoin you to go to Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 for that and what follows. All right? You will not be disappointed, people, when you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord and Savior, and is there no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. You must be saved. All right? God knows what God is talking about. That is the truth. All right? So, first step is what? Jesus is speaking to people who what? Believe in him. So, you have to believe in Jesus. That's first. And if you're hearing this for the first time, people, get a Bible, buy a Bible. There are churches that will give Bibles away free. If you don't have access to a Bible, call us. We'll find out sources where you can get a Bible. There are many who will freely to you. They have footed the expenses to give you what is of inestimable value. It's just you cannot estimate this value, and they know it. So they're willing to do what's necessary to get this priceless treasure into your hands too. So call, just write to us, whatever you need to do to local churches and us. Just let us know. We'll help you. So Jesus, one, is speaking to the Jews, or here really, in our category, to all who believe in him. That includes the Jews, but not only exclusively. What's the next step, Danny?
Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word...
Okay. One is Jesus is, what did we talk about already before, people? Let's review. To the believers, you believe Jesus. You believe in Jesus. If you what? Abide in my word? Is that it?
Yes.
What does abide mean, people? The word is menon in Greek. That's the basic word. It means to remain. The difference is remaining in a house or visiting the house. All right? We tape this in a studio. We're visiting here. We have the privilege of being here. I am physically here with several beloved people working side by side all together. But I don't live here. So Jesus is saying, don't visit, abide. Where?
In my word.
In my word. Not just any word, people. In my word. Perfect. So you must believe in him. And step two, abide. What does that mean? Remain. What does that mean? Stay. Stay in his word. Inundate yourself with it. Wash yourself with the washing of the word. Stay fully in the word. So let's go back to the beginning, then we'll add on one more. Okay, please, Daniel.
Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine.
Beautiful. You're starting to see it, people. One is believe in Jesus. Believe Jesus, you're a believer, you remain, you stay in his word, then we can call you a true learner, a true disciple, a true student of Jesus.
Talmid.
Exactly. Daniel gave you the Hebrew. What is that word again?
Talmid.
Talmid. All right. T-A-L-M-I-D. T-A-L-M-I-D. Talmid. So, let's go back to the beginning. We'll add on one more step.
Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly a disciple of mine, and you shall know the truth.
Stop. Perfect. Now we got the next step. First step was what? Jesus is speaking to the Jews who believed in him, right? Believe in him. Believe. What is it, people? Say it with me. Believe. What is step two? And you abide. You remain in my word. You stay there. This is not a visit. You're not going to have a casual relationship with God. This is not something you do a couple of hours a week or a few minutes in the morning and night only, and I respect the sacredness of those times. But we do a lot more hours, man hours, at our jobs and with our families, which must not be neglected. They must not be neglected. However, you neglect them if you neglect God. Because to see anything outside of the context of God, people, puts you in another orb, another sphere, another relationship without God. Don't do it, ever. Please, I implore you, don't do it. So again, Jesus speaks to the Jews and really to all who believe in him. If you abide in my word, stay or remain in my word. So know this Bible. Do you know the Jew would start studying the Bible at age 5, the Torah, and he would memorize all of the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy by age 10. And they knew good portions of the rest of the scripture, and their study continued. And really, depending on if you had to work in a field or the level of skill and knowledge and excellence you showed academically, that would continue and throughout one's life. Let's show a hunger for the holy God that we serve, all right? That's the truth, and he's a God of truth. So one is to believe in him. Two is to, what? Remain or stay in his word throughout the day, all day. You're going to be believing and acting according to some word. It better be his. 3, then you could be called a true, as Daniel said before, a true Talmid, a learner, a disciple, a student. We're learning. Then, right, what was the next step you had? You will know the truth. You shall know the truth. So, whoa, okay, what does it mean to know something? What do you think, people? When you know something, is that just intellectual knowledge? Well, that's the way we often see it in the West, all right? I memorize something, I have a series of facts and figures. Oh, I know that, I got 100 on the test. Maybe you memorized a driver's manual. You know all the things about it. Does it mean you know how to drive? You know driving? Maybe you know about it. But in the Hebraic mindset, from lada'at to know, yada, which is used in the third person singular past, he, she, it, knew, yada, we understand as that three-letter root. We mean to know something means, let's go back to the root of it, ladat, to know also means to experience the same way it's used for in the sacredness of the covenant only, of marriage only, of a man and woman knowing each other, to know one's wife, where Adam knew his wife. He didn't just know her name, he knew her. There was an intimacy of body, soul, and spirit. Okay? He knew her. They were one. So it's where the two become
one.
One. Perfect. So where the two become one, then we know each other. So to have memorized a driver's manual and never to drive, you would not say you know driving. Period. You'd say you know about driving. You may know the techniques of how to, but you couldn't really say you knew driving. And I'm sure in the practicality of it in our life, people, if you were to go out with friends and they say, do you know how to drive? You know, they expect you to be able to get in the car and drive. If you just turned around and say, well, I memorized the owner's manual, but I still don't know how to drive, they look at you like you're at least from another planet. What do you mean you know the owner's manual, but you don't drive? It's crazy, because you learn only so you can do. You learn to do, so you do what you know. You know what I mean? So when you know something, the purpose in and of itself is not just the knowledge of it. The purpose is going to then be the experience with it, where the two become one. This has been a major fault in our Bible studies, people. A major one. Where we become so at times literate, but we become at times all or less doing the Bible. In James, which is really the book of Jacob, chapter 1:22, it says, let not many be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. You are to do the Bible. But in order to do it, you need to learn what to do. So you're back to being a student. But our education system has at times, and I, with all due respect to the great teachers we have, has at times failed us because we have learned, but not every subject we've had in school has been designed in order for us to do it in the course and practicality of life. So life should dictate, according to the life that God has ordained for each one, what we need to know. Hosea 4:6a, a meaning the first part, says, my people perish, also means destroyed, my people perish or are destroyed for lack of
the knowledge.
Most of your Bible translations say knowledge, but did you hear Danielle? Tell them again what that word is.
The knowledge.
The knowledge. She's perfectly right. The knowledge. My people perish for lack of the knowledge, because there's a specific body of knowledge that we must, have to, better have, without which we will be destroyed. That's God Himself speaking, people. Let's make sure we listen, hear, and obey. So, let's look again, and we'll do the next part. So far, we have believing in Jesus, abiding, remaining in His Word. Then we are really true disciples, learners of Him. Then we can experience the truth. Not just know it or memorize it in that sense or have head knowledge of it, even if we know it in Hebrew, Greek, or English or any other language. That's not enough. That is a requisite to doing. It doesn't define doing. You can memorize the whole Bible and still have nothing to show for it in your life and be all the less because you know all the more. Let's go to the last part by reading it all and adding on that final clause, please, Danielle. We'll all make sure, people, you're in John 8, 31 and 32, please.
Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Ah, what is the part we usually hear when people quote this? The last part.
Right.
The truth shall make you free. I think we just forgot four steps, though, in order to get there. People, if you want to hit a home run, last time I checked, you had to hit the ball. You didn't just stand on home base. You had to hit the ball, go to first, go to second, go to third, and go all the way around and touch home base. What would happen if you missed a base? It didn't count at all, did it? That would be a mistake. So run well and run properly, people. Jesus speaks to the Jews and to anyone who believes in him. People, believe in him. Abide in his word. Get his Bible. Then you're a true learner. Then you can experience the truth. And the truth that you experience will, by its own nature, God says, make you free. Period. Now we're learning. Now we're getting it. And in Galatians 5:1, God says, "It was for freedom that Christ set you free. It was for freedom that the Messiah set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." Amen?
Amen.
Now, in Psalm 119, verse 160, under the letter Reish, Rosh Devarcha Emet. Remember that word? Emet was the word for truth. Yeah, exactly, for truth. Thank you. Rosh Devarcha Emet Ul'olam Kol Mishpat Tzidkecha. The sum or the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments forever. The sum of thy word is truth also translates, the main thing about your word is that it is true, in the Complete Jewish Bible. I love that translation. The main thing about your word is that it is true. Again, quoting from another text, thy word altogether is truth, in a New Berkeley Bible. All right? Which means the aggregate of all the individual precepts of God's word, all right, from A to Z. Now, the first word in that section is, in Psalm 119:16, Rosh Devarcha. Rosh means head, like Rosh Hashanah. That means head. Head, top, height, chief, lead, sum, to enumerate the sum in its fullness. So the fullness, the head of your word is truth. Do you just understand right now, people, how important the truth is? God said the top of it all, the height of it all, the chief of my word is truth. And we better be people of truth. Answer people truthfully. Own up to things truthfully. Honor the truth. Know the truth. Experience the truth. Make sure you're a good disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure to be a good disciple, you continue to abide, remain in his word, which means you're in no other place but his word, because his is the word that is going to be life to you. And you do that by first believing in him who is the living word. You believe in him as the living word, in his written word. You remain in his word. You're truly a learner, a disciple of his. You'll know, you'll experience that truth. And that truth that you experience, you become one with. And as you become one with it, it, by its own God-given nature, frees you. Now, that's a promise from God. And the head of his word is truth. And all his judgments are righteous. And they all said, "Oh God, we love you. Your word is truth, Lord. Sanctify them, Lord, in truth. Your word is truth." Thank you so much for joining us today. And the Lord bless you and keep you today. And we pray you've come to see truth and the God of truth. Please know the truth that sets you free. Shalom.
Shalom.